Well, good evening, folks. It's great to see you all here tonight. My name's Simon. I'm the new associate vicar here. If you're visiting tonight, you might not recognize my face, but it's great to welcome you here tonight as well. This morning we had a great service for the nativity scene. It was great to see the kids, and the whole church family really getting involved in what was a great morning service. And I remember days when I started off in the nativity service. I was actually ill for my first nativity service when they were doing the casting. And I ended up as being casted as the angel Gabriel. And in my day, we had to go down to the downstairs bathroom and say our line and say it as loud as we could so that people could hear it up in the upstairs room. And so I got my line and I was practicing it. And my line should have been, "My name is the angel Gabriel, and you're going to have a baby." And I spent, a week or so learning this. And then it came up to the actual nativity show itself, and I was plucking up courage. I had nice wings on. I was looking very angelic, if you can imagine that. And there it was, because sort of came up, and I got stage fright, and I got completely frozen. And I was sort of shaking like this, and the teacher very kindly said, "Came up," because I whispered the line again. I said, "No, I had to go back." And I tried again, and again I got frozen again. And then she said, "Come on, you can do it. So I got up, and sort of with all of my courage said, "My name is the angel Gabriel, and I'm going to have a baby." And nativities have never been the same since. So I do love nativities. There's a couple of other things I love as well. I love my wife, Naomi, who is singing tonight with me. And I love music and I love God. And it's been a great joy in my life to be able to think about these two things and put the two together. So tonight's not really a sermon in a formal sense. It's more of a theological reflection, which I hope will help us understand a bit more about God and what he's done for us. I don't think it's a coincidence that if you look through Christian history and Jewish history, that we have great artists and musicians and poets, and we have the Word of God, supremely, I suppose, that help us enter into a deeper experience of God. And so tonight is more of a theological reflection, I guess, on how great art and great music can help us experience God more, how they can help us understand why we're here, what we're doing here. As an artist myself, this is one of the things I love to think about. And so I want to draw on the great traditions of art and music and, of course, God's Word to see what God might want to say to us this Christmas. And rather weirdly, I'm going to base this talk on some musical chords. Don't worry, if you're not a musician, you don't need to know that. But I just thought on my reflections about some of the qualities that we describe chords as in music. And so there's going to be three chords tonight, and I'm going to explain as we go along. Don't worry, you'll get it as we go along. And the first chord is what we call dissonance. And dissonance sounds like this. You can hear it's got that kind of clashing tone to it. Very nasty, gnarly kind of sound. And that's called dissonance. In Genesis 3, in Genesis 1 and 2, God had created a perfect world, a good world. And in Genesis 3, we hear the story, famously, of Adam and Eve eating the apple that the snake had tempted them to eat. And dissonance, what we call sin, enters the world, messing up God's creation. Very gnarly thing. And I don't know about you, but I think we all experience that dissonance, that sound, to one extent or another. If you think back through your life, all of us have experienced some kind of suffering to one degree or another. And suffering is in this world because of sin, because of the things either done to us or the things that we do, things we do that we shouldn't, things we say that we shouldn't, or things we leave undone and unsaid that we should. And I've been thinking about artists and musicians, and they have this great ability, don't they, to enter that kind of dark place, to enter that place of suffering, and help us through their art and through their music to engage with these deep emotions, to engage with these difficult subjects, There's something about their own suffering that kind of resonates with our own soul. I don't know, when you go around a museum or you listen to a great piece of music, there's something that resonates with our own being, isn't there, when we hear or get moved by great art. And if you think about some even just musical genres, like blues, for example, I mean, that's an entire musical genre, but born out of a place of suffering, as you know, the Africans were shipped over to America, brutal, persecuted, and out comes this whole genre of music out of that place of suffering. And Scripture also helps us to resonate with those distant depths of the human soul, perhaps supremely. So when we had that first reading there tonight in Isaiah, this is a really low point in the history of Israel and their relationship with God. A really dissonant time, a really gnarly dissonant time in Israel's relationship with God, where he's saying to them, look, because of your sin, you're cutting yourself off from my blessings. And if you keep going this way, this was Isaiah's message, you are going to be overthrown by another empire. You're not going to have the Holy Land anymore. And that's exactly what happens as the Assyrian Empire comes in, as the Babylonian Empire comes in, as the Persian Empire comes in, and so on and so on. In fact, that dissonant state is pretty much almost Israel's history's relationship with God in many ways. Let's think about Mary and Joseph too. They've also experienced this dissonance, haven't they? I don't know if it strikes you, just the drama in this Christmas story. I guess that's why it's got so much power to it. Is this the drama, the escape to Egypt, the threat of Herod, the danger that God has to step in and speak in dreams in dramatic ways so that they can escape really dissonant existence that God is entering into in the baby Jesus. Emmanuel, we sing, don't we? That means God with us. And if we take the incarnation, that is God in Jesus, that's what we celebrate at Christmas, then God himself also knows what it is to live in that life of dissonance. The life that we experience. If you reflect back on the year, we've remembered the great wars, Ebola, all the conflicts still raging in the Middle East, as well as our domestic pressures, paying the mortgage, family issues maybe. We've all experienced that kind of dissonance in our lives. And I think to make things even more complex maybe, I'm going to introduce you to our next chord, which is called a suspended chord. So if you listen to dissonance, this is a suspended chord. It doesn't resolve, it keeps there, doesn't it? It keeps us hanging there. That state of kind of hanging there. And we're waiting for it, isn't it? It's almost pregnant. We want to hear the next chord, which I'm not going to play for you just yet. But that suspense, that sustain, you've got the dissonance. And that suspension. Great artists are able to kind of live in that world of tension, of that suspense. And jazz music, as we've been singing a bit of tonight, is kind of the story, again, of this continued dissonance, this suspended dissonance, this unresolvedness, as racism and persecution is written in the history of jazz. One of my favorite pianists, a guy called Bud Powell, you probably haven't heard of him, he was beaten by police and electrocuted in an asylum. And he never got to hear how his music was severely damaged after that. But he was really influential. He never got to hear the influence he was going to have on jazz music for the rest of time. He was constantly living in this state of suspense. Israel too, as we heard read tonight, they were living in this state of suspense. Isaiah 9:6 said, didn't it? The child to be born, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and this is what it said, with the government on his shoulders, a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. that suspense building. God is going to come. God Emmanuel is going to come. He is going to resolve things, but it's not yet. In fact, they had to wait 700 years. 700 years on this one chord. Can you imagine it? Then, by the time we get to the time of Jesus, it's just this pregnant atmosphere in the whole nation. When is the Messiah going to come? When is God, Emmanuel, going to come and be with us and rescue us from the gnarly dissonance? When is it going to happen? I don't know if you feel like that with your experience. We live in that suspended state, don't we? I don't know whether you have a faith here tonight or not, but when we look at the news, when we reflect on the year past, it seems that the headlines, although they always change, never seem to change, do they? There's constantly a war going on somewhere. There's some outbreak of disease. We have enough food to feed the world, and yet there are children starving all over. Corrupt politicians. We also are living in that state of suspended dissonance. And I think that suspension, if you like, is heightened by hope, isn't it? We kind of long. You know, you look at all the Hollywood movies. There's always that sense of the happy ending is going to come, isn't there? And that almost makes things worse in a sense. You're kind of thinking, well, when's it going to happen? You know, I need it now. I want to see that happy ending come. Is there such a happy ending? Is there a God? Is he out there? Is there someone that is in control of the universe? I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves, we've all asked that question at some point. And I think this state is well expressed in the presents that the wise men bring Jesus. So the gold that they bring, that is a sign, a symbol that Christ is king. He is going to be this wonderful counselor, this Prince of Peace. And the government is going to be on his shoulders. He is going to rule the world with righteousness. The gold, he is king, king of all, king of kings. And the incense, a symbol of worship, that used to be used in the temple, still used in some churches today, pointing towards the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He is deity, if you like. He is divine. King of kings, as well as God in the flesh in our midst. That sense of hope in those presents. But what about the third gift of myrrh? Well, myrrh was used to embalm the dead. And so this prophetic gift of myrrh points us to that ultimate expression of dissonance and suspension. Unresolved, we have Christ on the cross in a very dissonant state, suspended there, stripped, flogged, crucified. Dissonance, dissonance, suspense, dissonance. And there is Jesus Emmanuel, suspended on the cross, and with his dying breath calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps, is that where the story ends? Is that where the story ends? Well, I believe that that's not where the story ends. And so we're going to finally hear that next chord, because although we're celebrating Emmanuel, God with us, stepping into the dissonance to bring us what we call consonance. And to get to consonance, we have to have a resolution. There's no such word as a resolving chord, but it sounds like this. And it's that moment when we go from dissonance and suspension into a resolution and we hear consonance. It's that moment, that pregnant moment. If I build it up for you again, there's the dissonance, there's the suspense. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for. There we have the resolution. Easter Day, that great moment, that great resolved moment, when Jesus defeats sin by rising again from the dead. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. Have you ever experienced that sense of resolution of being able to come consonant, if you like, with God. That's what Jesus achieves for us on the cross and the resurrection. See, when we come to the cross, we're saying to Jesus, Lord Jesus, my life has this kind of stuff in it, this dissonance. And I've been living here for a really, really long time. And we have something called repentance, which means to say sorry for the things we've done wrong. It simply says to Jesus, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you are able to resolve me with God, that I'm able to be reunited with God again, forgiven, so that I can experience God afresh. My final thought is that, have any of you ever thought about the vulnerability of God? We tend to think of him as high and mighty, which he is. But it's in that state of suspense, if you like, ultimately on the cross, there's God in the flesh again, on the cross, vulnerable, naked, flogged, beaten. And he took a great risk, didn't he? He took a risk to be vulnerable. And it's when we're at our most vulnerable that we have our most potential, I think. And if you look at the great artists of this world, so Mozart starts writing some of his best works when his mother dies. Beethoven, when he goes deaf, starts writing this profound music. And he's in this state of suspense again. But he has the courage to say, no, I'm going to push on. I'm going to push on until I get that sense of resolve, that great music. Rachmaninoff, I don't know if you know his works, but he was slated for his first piano concerto. He nearly gave up writing. But he had that resolve again to say, no, this isn't it. This can't be everything. Dissonance can't rule the world. And he comes back and smashes his second piano concerto that's still regarded as one of the most beautiful piano music of all time. And I think that teaches us something about the nature of God too. That he took a great risk coming as a baby. And all throughout his life, as he taught the most profound truth we've ever come across, he lived this life, you know, just completely in dissonance as the light of the world came into the darkness of our lives and 2,000 years ago of people in that time. And then he's hung on the cross. Totally vulnerable. But what courage, because God knew that wasn't going to be the end. The resurrection was going to come. The consonance was going to come. God took that risk so that we could be saved. We could experience that same resolution, the resurrection of Christ. And so if you're new to the faith tonight, if you're new to Christianity, if you're just here maybe because you've been thinking about dissonance in your own words, I just encourage you, just think about what God's done. He stepped into that dissonance. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. He hung himself on the cross to pay for the price of our sins, suspended there, so that we could be reunited with God when we turn and seek him. And I want us to think about taking a risk. Being vulnerable is risky. It means we expose ourselves to God. It means we expose our baggage, and that can be hard. But God is gracious and he loves to forgive. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is. And his counsel tonight is, take a risk with me. I know about the dissonance anyway. Come in. I want to forgive you. Just turn your heart to me. Put your trust in me. And I will reunite you with God, because that's what I've done for you on the cross. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have stepped into the darkness. God, Emmanuel, God is with us. Thank you that you've not left us in a state of dissonance. Thank you that, Lord Jesus, you were obedient to death, even to the cross. You lived that perfect life, so you were able to make that perfect sacrifice that we may be reconciled with our Heavenly Father and enjoy that consonance, that peace that can only come through being forgiven through Jesus. And I pray for anyone here tonight who's maybe wanting to take that risk, to dare to trust that God may forgive them. And if that is you, I just encourage you to come and speak with me at the end of the service. I'd love to just chat that through with you further. Or try coming to Christianity Explored on the 22nd of January and just find out a bit more about how God has saved you or can save you when you put your trust in Him. And Lord, whatever happens, would you shine the light of Jesus in our hearts? Bring hope where there is darkness. Bring comfort where there is mourning. Bring peace where there is unrest. And help us enter into a deeper sense of reverence and awe this Christmas. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.